an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top Pedia of football, NFL Lunch style, here on this game day Monday. Ravens at Tampa tonight, 8:15. Ravens now 4-point favorites, according to ESPN Bet. The spread's going up a half a point. We'll be at the Green Turtle in Canton, starting at 5 o'clock for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored. Pre-game show brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus. But John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, met with the media, talking about Baker Mayfield. Now he's changed since 2018.
You know, I don't know that it's really changed. I think he's still playing like he plays. He's playing Baker ball, you know, at a very high level. You know, and I think they've done a very good job of building the offense around what he does well with his two star receivers, you know. Offensive line's playing well too. So all those things have kind of come together for him, it seems, at this point.
Well, the thing, what does he do? He's accurate short. He's completing 70.9% of his passes. So they're letting him do what he does well, which to me is good coaching. And they got a coordinator from the Rams, you know, who is familiar with him because he was at the Rams for, you know, a cup of coffee. But I think it's a good marriage right now because the offense is working and Godwin is really getting to show his stuff.
And you talked about this last week, and we just talked about it as well with Scott Reynolds. Yeah, he threw three picks against New Orleans, but only one of them, air quotes, was his fault. I mean, they still count, but there were a couple. Like Garrett Wilson's doink last night for Jets turned into a pick for Aaron Rodgers. So, for the most part, Baker Mayfield's been keeping the turnovers at a minimum here.
No doubt about it. And, you know, when you've got the kind of weapons that he's got and you're throwing the ball quick, you know, it's a lot less opportunities for you to get picked. You know, so like we had said, the two deflections, those because he's a shorter quarterback, Bob, and one of the callers, get your hands up, Ed, I think it was, get your hands up because, you know, he'll throw it and you can tip it. And he has shown, like last week, were two interceptions.
In case you've forgotten, everybody, another quarterback chosen in that 2018 draft was Lamar Jackson, who's having a pretty strong 2024, shall we say. John Harbaugh was asked, is this the best version of Lamar you've seen?
Probably the answer, honest answer, is probably yes, just because, you know, he's the most far along as he's been, just as a player and development-wise, and he's steadily always. He's that guy that kind of epitomizes what we're talking about there. He's always seeking to improve. He's very much a perfectionist. He wants every play to be perfect. He chases perfection. I'd say yeah, but I think his focus is on the next play, you know, the next game.
I think this is the best Lamar's played, and he's got more on his plate than he's ever had. He's responsible for more of the offense. So I think he kind of likes that. I mean, when G-Row was here, it was like, hey, just show up and play quarterback. I'll tell you what to do, how to do it. Whereas now, he's the conductor, as Todd Monken says. So I think that gave him, you know, a lot of responsibility. And I think he's really doing a real nice job with the responsibility, because with that responsibility, Bob, I think it made him study and learn more about the offense, about defenses and everything else. And it's only made him a better quarterback.
And we've discussed, you know, if we're talking MVPs, who the favorites are through six, now 7 weeks, Lamar certainly is going to be part of that conversation. But Lamar, you listening to any of that talk right now?
I really don't care about the hype, you know, and not just being on two. I just know how the NFL works, you know. It's it any given Sunday, so I'm not finna dwell on an MVP trophy or anything like that. I never have, you know. Even when I won it, I never like dwelled on it. It was about me just trying to win each and every game I'm in, and same thing from now. You know, I'm still trying to win these games to get to February and win in February.
I would say this, Bob. I mean, if you had a vote right now, I think he'd be unanimous. The only one in the equation maybe would be Goff from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think those three right now. And a Monday night game, we talked about it last week. You're playing in a Monday night game. You want to get Pro Bowl votes and stuff like that? Play good on a Monday night because everybody's watching.
works for Baker Mayfield, too.
Yep.
Quarterback rating over 109, 15 touchdowns. He comes out and throws four TDs.
Yeah, no doubt.
Against this Ravens secondary, and they win. I mean, his name starts to get thrown around there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch. We're on this game day Monday. Speaking of Derrick Henry, Lamar, he's kind of living up to that hype, isn't he?
Yeah, I thought so. Just because of what he's able to do, the type of running back he is, and like him just wanting to do everything right. You know, if this is some type of mistake, it may be a mistake on my part. He gonna, like, it's all good. Like, same thing with me. So it's like, just make everything easy for me.
Yeah, when you know when you're that big and stuff, you can overcome the little things because, you know, like the play when he fell down going into the goal line, Bob. I mean, he gets up and then, you know, he takes it in the end zone. I mean, those are the kind of things. And, you know, maybe like Lamar should have kept the ball instead of it. But, hey, Henry makes him look good.
Now, the offensive line, we were concerned about it, and rightfully so, but they're coming together. And as good as Derrick Henry has been, he recognizes the O-line. They've gotten better each week as well.
Yeah, I just think that's the chemistry they have of wanting to get better, wanting to make each other better, and, you know, just finding any way to improve week after week. And I love them. I love that about them. And like I told y'all Sunday in the locker room, I just told them thank you because the unselfishness, putting their bodies on the line, and, you know, they're doing a hell of a job blocking. It's much appreciated by me. See, they're coming off the field right now. Look at them.
And I think they're gaining a ton of confidence. You know, they're feeling good about themselves, and they're having success, and they're only going to get better. And, you know, with the people they're facing in Tampa, I think they have good matchups there because what does Falele struggle with? Real quickness and stuff, and they don't really have that. You know, and Rosengarten, he may have a little problems with some power and some bull rush, but otherwise I think they're going to be able to run the football. You know, and they do a real nice job comboing up, and the linebackers are little 230-pound guys, so they've handled that kind of things well.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. Ravens 4-point favorites at Tampa. That game, 8:15 tonight. We'll come back. Look at our picks for this weekend, college and pro. Talk about tonight's games, plural, with Jared Dubin from NFL. Well, he covers the NFL for CBSSports.com. I guess trading for Davante Adams didn't solve the Jets' problems after all. But what about Russell Wilson? His performance last night, did they put the rest of the AFC on notice? Kansas City's the only undefeated team left. Should we be scared of the Chiefs? No one seems to be scared, but yep, here they are, undefeated.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Game day Monday. Ravens 4-point favorites at Tampa. 8:15 kickoff. We're talking about it. Throughout the course of the day, don't forget, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show live from the Green Turtle starting at 5. Come on by, say hello. Brought to you by Rice with the Brasaurus. Well, let's get into the totals here. Now, Nolan, going into this weekend's college football excitement through yesterday's NFL fun, give us an update on the tally. If you're new to the show, it's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vince Rado, Nolan McGraw. Booze is on the line. Beer, Mick Ultra's for the kid. Nolan drinks the Yinglings. Vinny likes the wine. How are we looking?
That's right. Bob was in the lead, 79-45. Vinny, not far behind, 77-47. And I'm in last place at 71-53.
All by yourself, as the old song would say. Last place, all by yourself. Well, based on our college picks, looks like we're all trying to get all bunched together in that little standings thing. We'll start with Maryland, USC. USC was 7-point favorites. USC was up by 14 in the second half, but it was Maryland who won. I'm sure we were all about the home team, weren't we?
Well, maybe we can take credit for the reverse jinx that we all picked against Maryland, and that's why they felt so amped up and ready to go out there and win.
Now, spoiler alert, I'm picking Minnesota this weekend, too. So we'll see if they can make it two in a row in regards to winning a game. Alabama, number 7, at number 11, Tennessee. Alabama was 3-point favorites. Didn't mean anything because the Volunteers got themselves a 7-point win.
That is correct. Bob and myself were going with Tennessee in that one. Vinny went with Alabama.
Yeah, that was...
They've been flirting with disaster for a few weeks and even had disaster there against Vandy.
Yeah. Vandy, yeah, they have not played well in the last 3 weeks.
Vandy now ranked, by the way, coming in, what, 25?
And yeah.
Milroe was kind of my watch out for him, Heisman dude, before the season.
I think we can stick
a fork in that one. Michigan at Illinois, battle of ranked teams. How'd this one go, Nolan?
I think at the time I said I don't know how to feel about Illinois. Don't know if I still do. We all picked Michigan, but good win for Illinois nonetheless.
Yeah, I know how to feel about Michigan now.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Well, the biggest thing is they don't have a quarterback. Can't throw the football.
I guess all orgies, his party's run out, huh?
Yeah.
And then Georgia, Texas, in Austin.
Yeah.
No less.
Yes, upset of the weekend. We all had the Longhorns in this one, even though Georgia certainly a capable opponent. It's not like it's one of those losses. Again, go back to it, Vandy and Alabama. It's certainly not on that caliber, but spread was pretty sizable, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a strong fiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good win for Georgia, but we did not see it coming. None of us.
That was a 1-3 debacle for the old Bobster in college.
I was 0-4.
Ouch.
1-3. Mm-hmm. Nobody good.
Well, let's see if the NFL did us any better there. How about, yesterday morning, 9:30 Baltimore time, whatever time it was over in London. Jacksonville taking on New England, laying 6. Jacksonville, boy, they kind of sucked this year. Then again, so does New England. How'd that one go?
Well, you figured they'd have to get at least one of their two in London. They weren't going to get swept overseas. They're home away from home. You two picked the Jaguars. I went with the Pats.
Yeah. Didn't look good early. Weren't they down 10-0?
Yes.
And came from behind to win that game for New England. It's a learning process.
Got that, what, 97-yard punt return for a touchdown?
Drake May, he's going to take his lumps, but he'll learn. This is an experience for him. Seattle at Atlanta. Boy, this one got pear-shaped quick. And just when you think the Falcons are about to do whatever it is they expect to do, and then Seattle come in, losers of 3 in a row? What the hell happened here, Nolan?
Well, we all picked the Falcons. We were all wrong. I think I even challenged Mike McDonald's defense there. I said, what happened to the defense? The past couple weeks, they had been giving up some high point totals. Everything that was working well for them early in the year, well, it returned yesterday.
Yeah, puffy pants, 34-14. Speaking of puffy pants, Buffalo, Tennessee.
Yep, this was probably an easiest one, or one of the easiest ones to pick. We all had the Bills.
And the game was actually closer than
that. At the beginning, yeah.
Amari Cooper scored a touchdown in his first game.
Dropped his first pass.
There you go. Welcome to the club. Buffalo should waltz through the American League. AFC East, Cincinnati at Cleveland there.
Yep, we all picked the Bengals, and we're keeping a close eye on them. Even though they got off to that tough start, it feels like they've got that run in them.
Geno Stone carted off the field with a shin injury. Yeah. Looks like x-rays were negative today.
And he had a nice pick on in return.
Deshaun Watson out for the year, if you missed that. And then DTR hurt his thumb. So Jameis Winston, let's go. Yeah. Got it in ya? Tyler Huntley got hurt. Green Bay at Houston, Houston at Green Bay, rather, one of the games of the day.
Another intriguing one. You guys had the pack in this one. They get the job done at home. I took the Texans.
Last second field goal. Handles the business.
That was a hell of a game. Hell of a game. And, and Houston had, what, 5 starters out on defense?
Yeah. Jordan Love took it. He's prone to the turnover, though.
Yes, he is.
He giveth, but yet taketh away. Let's go to Indy hosting the Dolphins there.
Well, the Colts won without Joe Flacco. You give him credit for that. But, yeah, against a very bad Dolphins team and barely eking out the win. But we all had Indianapolis on our predictions.
And that's kind of all that matters. Tyler Huntley did get hurt in this game for Miami. And it looks like, what, Skylar Thompson until Tua comes back?
Tua's supposed to play this Sunday.
But he's eligible to return. So unless I missed it, they already announced.
They said that he's expected.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
maybe signs of life for Miami then. We'll see. Lions at Vikings, another exciting game in the 1 o'clock window.
You guys were on Detroit in this one, and I thought the Vikings would stay undefeated.
Well, it was a last second field goal that beat them. Sam Darnold threw kind of a costly pick there, but Goff made some great throws. So did Darnold. Gibbs had a monster game for the Lions yesterday. So Minnesota's 0. It had to go. How about Philly at the Giants in New Jersey?
All right, we all got this one right. I think we even predicted that it would be pretty lopsided. 28-3 was your final. Everyone here on Philly.
Saquon Barkley monster game there.
Yep, big time. You knew that was coming. He wanted to stick it to him, and he did.
A.J. Brown got himself a touchdown as well. One of the snoozers of the Sunday, Raiders at the Rams there.
Right, we all picked the Rams in this one. They got some pieces back, but still having trouble, you know, pulling away from lesser competition.
Yeah, that Williams is quietly having a pretty strong season for L.A. running that football. Looks like Cooper Kupp could be coming back here shortly. Washington hosting Carolina.
Boy, this one was over as soon as they got off the bus. Yes. We all had the Commanders, though. Easy pick.
Yeah, but Jaden Daniels went down first series, as we said, with a rib injury. Doesn't appear to be anything serious, but he's got to miss. I mean, they've got the Bears coming up, the matchup of one versus two, Williams and Daniels. Doesn't look like Daniels going to make this party. 425 Sunday.
Yeah. Well, Bob, the thing that can happen is, you know, like if you get hit again or whatever, you could collapse along something like that. So you gotta be, you know, you got to take caution with him, especially he's your franchise.
So when do you go back to Bryce Young if you're Carolina? Because Andy Dalton, first series, like, hey, you want a touchdown? Go ahead and take it.
Yeah. I'd go back to him now and figure out, you know, do I got to pick another quarterback? Because they may be, there's a good chance they're picking one again.
I think they already buried the kid, moving on from him that fast. Even if they do go back to him, they've already made their intentions pretty clear of how they feel about him.
And he's just going to take his lumps over and over again. I mean, Andy Dalton gave them a pulse for like a game.
Yeah.
And since then, he's the Andy Dalton that's played on half the teams in the NFL since he left Cincinnati. But that's their problem. Kansas City at San Francisco, Nolan.
All right, here's a victory lap for me. You guys had the Niners. I took the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Jets at Pittsburgh.
There was 5 interceptions in that game between the two quarterbacks.
And Purdy, he's giving the ball away a little bit this year. And how about
so
Kareem Hunt? Where does Kareem Hunt stuff come from all of a sudden? Thought he was washed up.
Turning back the clock.
Yeah.
His familiar face.
He looks good.
But earlier in the show, I was giving the Niners defense a little bit of grief for not tackling Pat Mahomes. But, I mean, how about Mahomes laying the wood on that touchdown run? He flattened the defender on that one. I don't think I've seen a quarterback truck a defender quite like that.
And then stared at him as he laid there,
too. Rightfully so.
But you imply they didn't tackle because they were afraid they were going to get penalized for
hitting. Right. Well, when your guy's running down the sideline, that's usually when the penalty flags come out on the sideline.
So what do? You just wait for him to run out of bounds when he's tired or something?
No, they got to get a hand on him.
Exactly. Steelers hosting the Jets.
All right, you guys had the Jets in this one, and I went with the home team Steelers.
Look at you. Russell Wilson looked like he drank out of the fountain of youth. Aaron Rodgers, not so much in that game. All right, two games tonight. Chargers, they're taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Chargers in Arizona, by the way. Chargers minus one.
Which Arizona team is it? That's the key thing. Is it because they can be an awful one or they can be a good one? I'll take the Charger just because I have more confidence that I kind of know what I'm getting.
Right, this one's very challenging to pick. I feel like the Charger's just a little more well-rounded, even though they're not that explosive. I'm going to go with L.A., though. I think they're just a better coach team, better all-around team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. I think J.K. Dobbins has some damage done against this Arizona D, but Kyler Murray gets hot. Is Harrison playing? Is he going to be ready to rock and roll?
After the concussion? I'm not sure.
So I'll still take the Chargers to get themselves a road win and stay into that playoff conversation in the AFC. And then, obviously, the Ravens laying 4 at Tampa.
I got the Ravens 35-24. I think the Ravens are going to be able to score. I think they're going to be able to take advantage of their pass defense. You know, and as Scott Gold was telling us about, you know, the corner number 24, he was terrible last week. And I think the Ravens are going to be able to get after Baker up the middle. So I think they'll get some turnovers, but I got 35-24. It's not like they're going to shut them out.
Mm-mm.
No. I got a Ravens win as well, although much closer. 1-point victory at that. Ravens 28. Buccaneers 27. It's going to be a shootout. Maybe not into the 30s, but it will be back and forth nonetheless. The Ravens will have the last laugh.
All right, I'm going to go Baltimore as well, 37-33. I see a game reminiscent of the Cincinnati game a couple of weeks ago there, which the Ravens won in overtime. I'm not saying they're going to win in OT. They're going to have the advantage. And then Baker Mayfield's going to make it interesting in the fourth quarter. So if you think you're going to be able to go to sleep and then watch it in the replay in the morning, no, you're going to be up because Tampa's going to come back, but it's not going to be enough. And the Ravens are going to pick up their fifth victory of the season. We'll come back, talk more about the National Football League on this game day Monday with Jared Dubin from CBSSports.com, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, and then Inside Access live from the Green Turtle in Canton here on 105.7 The Fan. In the AFC North, we got a lot to get into. And joining us now, it's Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw from CBSSports.com. Let's welcome back to the show, Jared Dubin. Jared, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, as always, here on The Fan.
Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Good. Hanging in there, Jared. Let's look at last night's game. It was Pittsburgh. It was the Jets. It was Rodgers. It was Russell Wilson. Hey, if this was 10 years ago, we'd have a great playoff matchup, that memorable game, NFC Championship, Green Bay and Seattle. But it's not. It's current day. And the surprise level for you that Wilson was as good as he was, and with Aaron Rodgers, are we looking at a player that might be in decline? He is 40 years old here.
Yeah, I was at least somewhat surprised about Wilson, at least in the second half. I think in the first half, it was a lot of George Pickens kind of bailing him out on a couple deep balls. Like a third of his passing yards in the first half came on that ridiculous one-handed grab on the sideline. But in the second half, I thought he played really well. He made a really nice throw to Pat Freiermuth on that one-handed grab, made another nice throw to Pickens up the sideline. He did a good job in the play-action passing game. Some of it, I would think, is, you know, the Jets didn't have DJ Reed or Michael Carter II, who are obviously two of their three starting corners, and Sauce Gardner got banged up a little bit, but, you know, he opened things up for them, and they had a better game running the ball, too, because I forget who posted the stats earlier today, but they faced considerably fewer loaded boxes with Russ under center than they were getting with Justin Fields under center, and that's obviously makes it easier to run the ball. And then with Rodgers, I mean, I just don't think he's played up to the level that obviously the Jets expected of him when they traded for him. But that shouldn't be surprising. The guy's 40 years old. He's coming off a torn Achilles, and he spent his offseason flirting with running for vice president and going to Egypt. So it's not like you should have really expected him to suddenly be, you know, 2017, 2018 Aaron Rodgers again.
Jared, what do we think of Cleveland now? Done? Put a fork in him?
I think they're kind of better off than they were heading into yesterday. It's hard to get any worse quarterback play than what they've been getting over the last couple of years. I mean, Deshaun Watson was literally off to like the worst start in Browns history since they, you know, came back to Cleveland. So it can't get any worse. Obviously, they're not in a particularly good position win-loss-wise, but if the defense can get it, you know, a little bit closer to where they were last year as opposed to what they've been for a lot of this season, they've got a better chance. It's just tough to come back from the hole that they're in right now.
Who would have thought, Jared, in Kansas City, San Fran, that there'd be five interceptions with those two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you have two teams with really good defenses playing against offenses that are down pretty much every weapon except for the tight ends. You know, like even the Chiefs even lost Juju Smith-Schuster in addition to obviously Rashee Rice and Marquise Brown already being out. And then, you know, San Francisco was without the best pass catching running back in recent memory. And then each of the top three wide receivers on the team. And, you know, you throw Steve Spagnuolo's defense in there, you throw the 49ers defense in there. And it was just really, really tough for those guys to get anything going.
That Detroit-Minnesota game, how about the NFC North? That's a heck of a division right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wrote about it a couple weeks ago for the CBS website. They had, you know, the best point differential in non-division games through the first 6 weeks of the season in, you know, the history of this current divisional alignment since 2002. They're just dominating everybody that they see. Obviously, Green Bay has a close win yesterday and then, you know, Detroit, Minnesota, they're in the same division. So that's only the second divisional game between those teams so far this year. Their schedule is sort of backloaded with the games against each other. But every team over 500 right now, Green Bay looks really good. Even Minnesota with that loss still looks really good. Detroit came back from that loss earlier in the season, which was kind of a weird game, and looks like maybe the best team in the NFC. It's pretty loaded, like you said.
Now, we got two games tonight, Jared. Los Angeles at Arizona. Which Arizona team showing up tonight?
Man, I wish I knew how to project which Arizona team was going to show up. You know, they had a couple of really good offensive games early in the season, and things have sort of slowed down a bit for them over the last few weeks. Kyler Murray has tended to play pretty well in the first half of games and not quite as well in the second half, and that's sort of been a theme with his career over the course of seasons too, where he has played well early in the year but sort of wears down physically over the course of the season. I think they definitely need to get Marvin Harrison Jr. more involved than he's been so far. He's kind of been a guy running deep routes and not seeing all that many targets. They got to find a way to get more explosive plays out there. And the issue with that, I think, is that the Chargers have been the best defense in the league against wide receivers so far this season. Wide receivers have basically no production against them. So it might have to go through Trey McBride and James Conner, but the defensive side of the ball, I think, is still a bigger issue for the Cardinals. And if they can't stop the run against the Chargers, then it's going to be tough.
Now, what do you think about tonight's game with the Ravens and Tampa Bay?
I think we're going to see a lot of scoring. And for me, that's really fun. I like high-scoring football games. But the thing about these two teams is that I think the strength of each team matches up really well with the weakness of the opposing team's defense. Tampa Bay has just gotten absolutely blown off the ball in the run game all season. They're allowing, I believe, like the seventh or eighth most yards per carry and the second most yards before contact per carry. They've also missed tackles at a pretty insane rate, and they've allowed a lot of yards to opposing quarterbacks on scrambles. And obviously that all matches up pretty well for, you know, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And then you throw in the fact that Jamel Dean, their top corner, is out. That goes really well for Zay Flowers. And then you look at the other side of the ball, the Ravens just keep giving up explosive passing plays. And the Bucs have been creating them at a really high rate. But where those explosive plays have come from, for the most part, is actually through yards after catch, as opposed to throwing the ball deep down the field. So you're going to have to see that back seven on the Ravens defense tackle really well in order to prevent that from happening.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Jared. 4-3 team to be worried about here. I'm looking at Indy in a good way. That's going to turn up to be a possible playoff threat. Indy, Denver, Seattle, all of a sudden out there in the West, they're in first place, which is kind of mind-boggling. And then Atlanta, which 4-3 team is going to start to rocket up to superstardom here?
I don't know about superstardom for any of them. But
yeah, right.
I do kind of like Seattle, even though that division you would think is going to get tougher as the teams out there get healthier. I think Mike McDonald is a really, really good defensive coach, and I think their offense has been playing a little bit better than it seems like on the surface numbers. You know, Geno Smith has been leading the league in passing, but just not finding the touchdown production. And as long as DK Metcalf comes out of this injury issue that he had yesterday healthy, which it seems like he is, then I think their offense can start to play a little bit better over the second half of the season too.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com. Jared, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Jared.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
There's Jared Dubin, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Fun House Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access live from the Green Turtle in Canton coming up at 2. And then it's Baltimore Game Day Uncensored live from that same venue, brought to you by Rice Martha Pesaurus. We start at 5. Mike Preston, Cordell Woodland, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. We got Melissa Kim joins us, Jason Locke for his take. So, needless to say, plenty of intel coming your way. Talking about a game between 2-4-2 ball clubs, two quarterbacks picked in the same draft class, both first rounders, Baker Mayfield number one overall. Lamar was the last pick in the first round, two MVPs, well on his way maybe to a third, but we heard Lamar himself talk about that. It's all about February for Lamar now.
No question.
Regular season achievements, nice, get you paid, but legacies are built in the playoffs.
And he knows that that's the only success that he hadn't had yet, and that's what everybody bases all about. Whatever they think about Lamar, it's always about what's he done in the playoffs. So I think that's the only thing that really matters to Lamar is going and winning that Super Bowl.
World Series is set. It's the Dodgers and Yankees, two teams with the best record in baseball, in their respective leagues anyway, will face off in the Fall Classic coming up on Friday. We'll talk about that as the week progresses. Maryland comes from behind to beat USC. They're underdogs at Minnesota coming up 3:30 Saturday afternoon. Plenty of time to get into that and everything else. NBA starts tomorrow, for crying out loud. Yeah. College basketball in less than a month.
Oof-ta.
Hockey's already started. Yeah. The WNBA just ended. I told you, Nolan was so pissed he burned his Lynx jersey. Frustrated by the officiating in that game. I don't blame you, Nolan McGraw. Any closing thoughts before we get to the funhouse?
No, I mean, I could do 4 hours on my beloved Lynx, but, you know, I don't know if I could name a player. I mean, on the
yeah, Lynx golf is what Nolan would be talking about. All right, Nolan, it's the funhouse.
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start with Max in Baltimore. His prediction for tonight's game, Ravens win 31-21. Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely with touchdowns through the air. King Henry with a pair on the ground.
That would not, none of that shocks me. I think Lamar's going to have a big day. I think Bateman, especially when you're watching tonight, watch jersey number, the corner for Tampa. Who is number 24 covering for Tampa? That's the guy that you want to go after.
And maybe the better question is Lamar going to continue to spread the ball around? That's been one of the more encouraging things to see from their recent wins, is that he's getting the whole cast involved from start to finish.
Well, really, yeah, no doubt about that. But like in the first half, I mean, it was a lot, 9 targets to Zay, and then spread a few big plays here, there to Bateman. But then in the second half, you know, Andrews and Bateman were kind of the guys. So I think he keeps throwing to everybody. I don't think it'll just be one person.
We got Chris here who says, as long as the Ravens' offensive line continues to improve at the rate they have this season, I don't see the Ravens being stopped. Defense concerns aside, I think they should be the favorite in the AFC.
Yeah, the thing is the defensive concerns were never a concern in the offseason or going into it. I mean, that was supposed to be the best strength of the team was the secondary. And if you'd have said in May or whatever, when we're in game 7 or whatever, biggest problem is going to be your secondary. We got too much talent back there for that to happen. I mean, that's what happens when communication issues and confidence.
Howard in Baltimore says, I think the Ravens can go on a massive win streak, taking at least 8 or 9 of their next 11, or I guess the last 11, rather. The Steelers still questionable here for Howard. Cincinnati struggling to score at times. Howard goes on to say, I don't see anyone on the schedule that is a real threat to the Ravens. Ravens win the division handedly. The Steelers are frauds.
I don't think they're frauds. Last night they didn't look like frauds, and we'll see how it goes with Russell Wilson. But, you know, with Russell Wilson, I think you know, they get a little bit more in the passing game, and Pickens gets a little bit more involved. So I think Pittsburgh is going to be a tougher opponent than most think. And, you know, to me, you just got to take it one at a time, because you don't know. The Ravens, knock on wood, have been healthy. So let's just, if they could stay healthy, then I would totally agree with you.
At Cleveland next week, as big favorites are the Ravens.
Yeah, that's... Cleveland's defense didn't play bad yesterday. And, you know, can they score enough points, and are they going to get worn down?
One last one here talking World Series. This texter says, probably for the best, it's the Dodgers advancing instead of the Mets. I think they're more equipped to prevent the Yankees from winning at all. Although I must say, it does feel like the Yankees' year with all the offense they're getting.
Well, they're getting guys hot at the right time.
Yep.
Their bullpen was shaky, though, in that Cleveland series. But L.A. clinches using a bullpen game. Bullpenning is what they call it nowadays. It's the way, you know, the best start of the entirety of the postseason may have been Corbin Burns going eight innings for the Orioles. But the bad news for him was they didn't score many runs. Hey, Orioles, you're chasing. This is the team you've beaten 2 years in a row. This is the team you're chasing in the division. It's the Yankees. And if they win that World Series championship, another one to wave in our faces. Let's go Dodgers, huh? How about that? All in on the Dodgers. And let's see Shohei Ohtani. Hey, Mookie Betts has done World Series heroic stuff. Then I'm sure he'll be ready to rise to the occasion. But Shohei, what are you bringing to this one? It starts Friday night in Chavez Ravine. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're done for the day, at least from 10 to 2. We're both going to be at Green Turtle down in Canton starting at 5 o'clock. So come on by and say hello if you're inclined to do so. Inside Access starts from there. In a matter of minutes, for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, and Bob Haney, stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning or later today. For now, class dismissed.